the Lola Shmo, as we know. So how could a person get out of that that vicious circle? So the thing is like this. There are four, I think that there are four methods that the Rambam uses. I mean, there may be more. But the four methods, I mean, we're really going far off. Four methods. The first method the Rambam uses is the Rambam in the beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, where the Rambam says that if a person will study, gain knowledge of the universe, then he'll realize how great God is, and he'll be filled with a tremendous desire to get closer to God, to the source of all Chachma. So the first method the Rambam uses is really to change your mental environment. A person's mental environment from early youth is really people. And the Rambam Gemara speaks also about it. Rambam says in the Gemara that people, that a person that's on a high level doesn't like to spend his time with other people. His environment becomes, his environment from early childhood is his father, his mother, brother, sister, and friends later. And this becomes his whole world. Their values, this becomes the whole extent of his mental environment. The Rambam says when a person studies Chochmah, and he sees that the world, the extent, the infinity of the Chachma of the universe, sees what the universe is, he sees ultimately that he's just a small speck on the globe, which itself is a small speck in the universe, and he sees that, generations before and generations after, he's just a part of an infinite system. His whole life is just a small part of an infinite system. So when he changes his mental environment through intellectual knowledge, intellectual growth, so then that's one method that a person can use and must use in order to put him into the state of reality. That's one method. Another method that the Rambam uses is where a person deals with compulsions. How does a person deal with compulsions? Compulsions are a difficult thing to deal with. And the Rambam suggests that a person goes to the opposite extreme.
Reaction formation.
Which means that the person should be able to, if a person has certain, fear certain things, not speaking about real neurotic symptoms, talking about certain mild compulsions. So the Rambam says if he goes to the opposite side, he'll see that those things that he imagines that are so, he's so dependent on, he needs them so badly, he'll see he doesn't need them that badly. And he'll be able to recognize a certain intellectual freedom over these things. Then you have a third method the Rambam has is in Hilchas Tshuva. And this is really a very important method. The Rambam says that that Midarchei HaTshuva, the Rambam says, is that a person should change his name and he should say, I am not the same person that I was before, the Rambam says, and he should recognize, consider himself a totally different individual. That is an interesting thing. There's what the Rambam means over there is that what prevents a person from moving forward many times is his love of himself and his fixation to the identification of what the self is. Has a certain fixation to what the self is. What is the self? And the self, he thinks, are all the characteristics that make up his nature. The way people speak about him, they say, well, he's this type of a fellow, and all the idiosyncrasies that he may have that people will learn to joke about when they talk about him or to identify him with, you see? And he thinks that this is really him. That becomes his identity. Well, if a person loves these features about himself and considers this himself, him, he's not going to change them for anything, because this is him. See? So the Rambam says, that's what the Rambam says, that a Baal Tshuva should give up his identity. I'm a totally different person. Shouldn't be afraid to change in his mind the image of what he really is. This is not really him. It's very closely aligned with what the Rambam says over here, really. What is really you is not the nonsensical things that people necessarily refer to you with. But there's a deeper inner self. That's the real self. As long as a person likes what he is and has a certain idea, an image of what his identity is, and is not willing to change that image, he will never change. So that's why the Rambam has a change of identification. It's another method the Rambam uses. Another method the Rambam mentions, another method the Rambam says the person should use, is, of course, the main method, revision. A person being able to withdraw from the situation in which the instinctual is attached and to relive a situation in his mind. When he's not in the process, when his mind is not engaged in the in a process of being attached to the physical objects that he's involved with, that's known as tshuva. That's where you recoil from reality, you're not involved anymore, and then you relive situation. And that when you relive it, you have a much better chance of working with your mind than you did in the former situation. Because in the former situation, the instincts were engaged. And you couldn't, the mind was really, the energy was taken away from the mind. But this way, you're withdrawing the energy from the outside world, and you're using essentially your mind. Then you have a chance to relive the situation, to discover certain things about yourself, and to really change yourself. That's what tshuva really is. That's really what tshuva is. That's the most important process. But I would say like this. I would say that the what could a person do? David's question was that the, like we mentioned, I mean, the Rambam doesn't really mention too much about what a person should do. And like I said, the Rambam himself, it seems, didn't perceive really what such a thing was, because as soon as he heard something, he followed it immediately. But the thing is like this. What could a person do? It's a good question. What a person can do in order to perfect himself? I would say two things. First of all, he should perfect himself in knowledge. That's number one. Knowledge meaning that he should really know what proper thinking is, how to think properly, intellectually. And that's Talmud Torah. To know, knowledge means that he should know what the characteristics. I mean, what's the whole study of Pirkei Avos? To know what the characteristics of perfection are. To have them in your mind, in the back of your mind. They should be there. They should be there. Even if they don't affect you right now. But they should be there. It should be there. Now what happens is that through life's experiences, if you're armed and you have in the back of your mind the main pillars, the main concepts, if you have them there, then you have a very good chance that as situations arise, their connections are made in your mind. See? That's a very important thing. Knowledge is very, very important. Knowledge is very important. But there's another kind of knowledge that's just as important. And I would say that kind of knowledge is an extreme honesty with oneself and with one's emotions. And that a person, what really prevents a person from such type of honesty is a false type of haughtiness. A haughtiness is essentially false. The only thing that really will permit a person to be honest with his emotions is a certain humility. A certain humility. A certain love of truth to the point where even if it means his total self-debasement, recognition of his faults and his flaws in character, and really being honest with things with his emotions, reflecting many times when he does something, what was the underlying thought behind that? See? If a person would be honest with himself, he would learn a certain humility, and this humility would permit him to gain more knowledge of himself, and in turn he will find that he will be able to improve himself, correct himself, and he'll find that he'll be much happier, because he'll be in line more with what his real nature is. It's an interesting thing. What does David HaMelech say? Chazal say, what does David HaMelech say? David HaMelech said, V'anochi tolas v'lo ish. Mora says that the three people debase themselves. David HaMelech, V'anochi tolas v'lo ish, Avraham Avinu v'anochi v'efer, we spoke about this about Moshe and Aaron v'anachnu mo. But what did David HaMelech say? V'anochi tolas v'lo ish. It's an interesting thing. It means, what is tolas? Tolas means a worm that just writhes in according with an instinctual force. Its motions are resultant from instinctual forces. It means he recognized what he is, what man is. And this recognition, which is something which humbles a person, but humility is a very good thing, because humility brings a person in line with reality. And a person should know his instincts, should know what he what's underlying his midos, his character. He should be honest with himself. I think if a person does that, then I think a person will remove a lot of the things that prevent them from doing things for their own sake. The reason why we're mentioning before, the Rambam says that the main push of a person is for attainments, but he makes a mistake because he's been impressed with others who told him that these are the attainments. He's really working for those people, those phantasms. See? So the thing is that a person will continue to work for them as long as he has a false idea of his own estimation. False self-estimation will always lead him to do that because he thinks he's working in that direction, and he's humble, if he's really true and honest with himself, he'll make certain discoveries about his personality, and then he'll be able to move ahead. I think it's very important. It's extremely important.
Sunday, 10/22/1983.
This whole thing because we wanted to explain one word, why the Rambam, when he quotes that Chacham, he placed in one category Chachma and also work for your needs. So, the reason is, could be, we went off on a pretty big tangent, but it could be the reason is that all those things are for the person, are for the self. Are for the, in other words, in that category, a person does everything which is truly related to himself, which is truly his. And survival is, of course, has to be his. I mean, that's the very essence of what is his. So that's why it's all in one category. Without survival, I mean, there's no self. No self, so then you can't be functioning for the self. Possibility. Third category is meruchak. Meruchak means the person should keep away from it. Next is ratzi. Ratzi means that... Ratzi means that it is something which is advisable, recommended, good. And then you have Rishus. Rishus is optional. Okay?
Why is optional? Doesn't seem too cool because that's within the Rishus and the baseball game. Yeah.
Okay, and the Rishus is the baseball game. That's Rishus. Okay? Five and three. Okay, let's take it once more. That which you have a chiyuv to talk about, that's one. That which you're usher to talk about, two. That which is recommended, that which is preferable to refrain from, and that which it is advisable or recommended to involve oneself in. And then optional. Okay? So the four, from the four categories, the Rambam says, that are now Torah, they become five. Then the Rambam says that these four categories, and these categories are four, but in our Torah we have, he says, five categories. Okay, the five categories are those which are mandatory, those which are beneficial, and those which are harmful, and those which are prohibited, and then those which are neutral. So we said, how did the four become five? The Rambam doesn't maintain there's any contradiction between the first set of four and the second set of five. The answer is they're two different frameworks. The first framework is in terms of the nature of the speech itself, but the second framework is in terms of the performance of the speech. In other words, the Torah is in a lashon of the framework of the Torah is in terms of commandment, what a person should do, what he shouldn't do. So it's not discussing the nature of speech as a philosophical breakdown. What is the nature of the speech? But in the Torah, it's not a philosophical breakdown; it's a practical breakdown. question of what a person should do and what he shouldn't do. So that's a different breakdown completely. So therefore, it comes out to five. Right? Okay, so the Rambam mentions the area of speech. The first area he mentions is Torah. The area that a person must involve himself in. That's the area of Talmud Torah. Then the second category is those things which are prohibited, that speech which is prohibited, and that is like bearing false testimony, telling lies, and the Rambam has rechilus and rigol. Okay? Depends which text you have. In some it says just rechilus, but in kapach it's rechilus and rigol. So we just wanted to define what exactly is rechilus according to the Rambam. And the Rambam discusses it in Hilchos Deis Perek Shvi, Halacha Aleph. I'm a ragel b'chavera over below sase. Shenem al aselach rochel b'mecha. And the Rambam says, Al pishen lokan al dover zeh, oven gadolu, v'gorim laharag nefashas rabos miyisrael. V'kach nismach lo, v'lo saman al dam reyecha. Tzei lumad ma'ir l'doi gadomi. That was the incident of doi gadomi with the Yinovi or Kohanim. Okay. Ezeo rochel, what is rechilus, the Rambam says, it's a person that carries information and he goes from one individual to the next, right? And he says, so this is what so and so said, or he says, this is what I heard about so and so. So what is meragel really? That's rachel. That's meragel b'chavero. It doesn't necessarily mean that he tells A that B spoke against you. But he tells A anything which he will not, which will make him enraged or incensed about B. Any fact. So really a meragel is a person that goes about creating strife. And he has some type of enjoyment in riling up people to get them to fight each other. Okay. Some type of vicious pleasure, yes. But anyways, that's meragel. So the Rambam says, Reza Macharis Olam. Then he destroys the world. Now the Rambam's like it says, Yesh oven godel mizeh admo, and that's what the pasuk means, lo selech rochel b'amecha. Now the Rambam says, Yesh oven godel mizeh admo, there is even a worse sin than this, and it is included in this lavinus lashon hara. And that is a person who speaks about about his friend in a degrading way, even though he speaks the truth. Okay, so the Rambam says, so this is worse. So the question we asked naturally was if it's worse, so how come it's not openly in the Torah? It's worse, but it's only parenthetically included in the law. If it's worse, that should be the law. Say, lo sedaba lashon hara. Right? So what do we answer? We said that... That's right. Moreover, the Rambam also brings a raya from Nevi'im. He has a chorus from Nevi'im. Yachres Hashem kol sifse chalakos, loshon medaberes gedolos. So he brings a chorus from Divrei Nevi'im. So we said there's another case where the Rambam also has a chorus from Divrei Nevi'im, and that is the case of Baal Aramis. So Balaramis, the Rambam says also that don't think that this is a very small sin, because he lived, he had intercourse with a Gentile, so there's no neder, you think there's no isurim, it's not an erva. He says no, he says it's a very bad thing. As a matter of fact, he says yesh bo koris medivri neviim, the Rambam says. Also a similar thing. So if it's such a bad thing, so why doesn't the Torah prohibit it openly? So we said that the framework of the Surim of the Torah is different than the framework of perfection. There are two different frameworks. The framework of the Surim of the Torah follows a different pattern. You see? Because the Torah maintains that it cannot legislate perfection. The only thing it can do is set up certain laws, and these laws will lead a person to perfection. But actually, the perfection itself cannot be legislated. It's only a result of the laws. So in these two cases, you have the same situation. Yeah, for instance, over here, really, laselech racho ba'mecha means that a person should not destroy the nation through creating strife. That's really what the law is. But lashon hara, where a person degrades somebody, even though in terms of his own perfection it's much worse to degrade somebody. Because we mentioned, why is it worse? We said because it is, if a person does something which is vicious, so there's a chance he might realize that it's wrong, you shouldn't do it. He has some vicious pleasure, everybody is liable to recognize that it's wrong. But in Lashon Hara, there's an exonerating type of situation. Because what he does is he builds himself up by reducing somebody else's stature. So he walks away, he feels an elation. It's really a sin that's related to the ego. And a sin that's related to the ego is very difficult to correct. Because the person has a feeling of satisfaction about himself. So it's worse in terms of the fact that it's more difficult to change. He's involved more in something which is more harmful in general, because it prevents him from seeing his faults and raises him, gives him a false illusion about himself. And also, actually, it's more harmful, really, because when you degrade somebody, when you put somebody down, so you really destroy him. Destroy them to a worse degree. If you say somebody A said, you go to A and you tell them that B said something about you, so you create strife. But when you put somebody down, you assassinate his character, then you really destroy the person, and it definitely has a worse effect. No question about it. So it's worse. It's worse. It's definitely worse. But the only thing is that it's something that the Torah couldn't legislate openly. The Torah said, Lo Seleh Rachel Ba'mecha. That means the person shouldn't go from one to the other to create strife. Naturally, Lashon Hara also creates strife. Lashon Hara also creates. In terms of creation of strife, it's indirect. In terms of, that's why the law openly is Lo Seleh Rachel Ba'mecha. In terms of creating strife, it's indirect. But as insofar as imperfection is concerned, it is much worse, because what it does is, it's not just that it creates strife, you see, but what it does is, it destroys the person. Destroys the person he's talking about. That's the Gemara, destroys three people. Lashon Hara destroys three people. But the Torah couldn't legislate specifically Lashon Hara. So that's why Lashon Hara had to be subsumed under L'Selech Rachel. In terms of creation of strife, it's secondary. So that's why it's secondary to L'Selech, it's included in L'Selech Rachel. But the Rambam says you should know that it's much worse. And that's why this Karis Medivra Nevi'im. Why Karis Medivra Nevi'im? Karis Medivra Nevi'im is always where a person does an action that philosophically is really detrimental. So the Torah really might not have an open Isser on that. Because the Torah doesn't legislate perfection. The Torah has to be a system of law for the people to keep. And a system of law cannot be perfect yourself. Don't do something which is going to make you imperfect. Then it has no value. Nobody will do it. See? Either the person's perfected or he wouldn't need it. And if he's not perfected, it's not going to help him. So the halachas of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, are means to perfection. But they're not really right parallel with perfection itself. So that's why the Torah couldn't legislate about Lashon Hara. But the Rambam says, but the Nevi'im can. Of course, Nevi'im speak about the purpose of the Torah, which is perfection. And since that area is relegated to the Nevi'im, so that's why the Nevi'im say that it's curse for a person that speaks Lashon Hara. Similarly, we mentioned the other case also. The Isser of intercourse with a Goya, so that really is, halachically, it's not that severe. But the Rambam says, the Pasuk says, Ki bo'al basel necho. It means that a person by nature, if in his physical relations, there's also a psychological aspect. And therefore, if he has physical relations with her, so mentally he's going to be changed. Exactly. It'll affect him mentally. And it's really cure. It's kiruv l'avodazar. Kiruv l'avodazar. But kiruv l'avodazar, he can't answer the Torah. But the Nevi'im answer it. And they give him karas. So this karas from the different Nevi'im and this karas from the Torah. Karas min ha-Torah is for breaking the system. It's an infraction of the system itself. It's doing something which will destroy the system. While Karas mi-Divrei Nevi'im is where the person's perfection is being... is where the person is losing his perfection. Okay? Yeah, in other words, L'Selech Rachel Ba-Mechor really is destroying the Am. Breaking the system. Destroying the Am. Right. And breaking the system through causing strife, because you can't have an Am if you have strife. Lashon Hara also causes strife in a secondary way. So it's subsumed in the context of strife, it's subsumed under L'Selech Rachel. But in Safar's perfection, it's much worse, the Rambam said. Okay. And you can see why. Okay, then we said like this. Then we went into the next area. The next area, he says, is the good area, right? The recommended area, recommended speech. Oh, one second. We had another question. Question was, the Rambam says that he includes. Under the part, he says, the chelak ha-shlishi. Chelak ha-shlishi is the speech from which a person should avoid. And that is any speech which is not beneficial for himself. He says, like, for instance, he says there's no rebellion in it. It's not really that he's going against the system, or it's not really that he's listening to the system. It's neither. Like, for instance, most of the books of the multitudes of people, of the masses. He said, what happened, what occurred, what this king does every day, how this movie star spends his life.
You referred to novels twice.
Novels, yeah, this type of thing. Or interesting people, gossip magazines, right. The Inquirer type of thing, yeah. Right. People, points of information, right? Yeah, that the Rambam says that is the person is recommended against. Recommended against, and he says he gives a few examples to discuss how this person became wealthy. All these points of curiosity, or how a person died, what was the cause of his death. He says all this is considered by the Chacham Sicha B'Tela. Waste of time. He says, and the Hasidim tried very much to keep away from these things. And Rav, who was a Talmud Rav Chiya, they said about him that never in his life did he speak about any of these things, in this category. Never said a word about it. He says, then also, he says, the Rav says, that a person should be megana, should degrade something which is of value, or on the contrary, he should praise something which is really bad. Like if a person will put down a virtue, something which is a virtue, if he says it's not a virtue, for instance, he'll praise a laziness. Or if he puts down something which is a mila. You see somebody is living properly, so he'll make a joke about him. So he'll be putting down something which is good. Either one of these things, that belongs to that category too. So we ask the question. The question is, what do you mean? That should belong to the category of things that are also. To teach a person something that's wrong is definitely belongs to the category that's also. Not allowed to teach you. Allowed to teach a person false ideas. Definitely also. No question about it. So why does the Rambam say this belongs to the category of things which are recommended against, but they're not really also per se? Right. So we said that what the Rambam means is like this. The Rambam does not... You see, you have to understand the whole category. And the difference between the category before, which is where a person speaks things that are really usur, that's the category immediately previous to this one, where a person speaks about things that are usur, the prohibited category, and this category over here, which is recommended against. In the prohibited category, the person is using his speech as a tool of evil. He's using his speech as a tool of evil. He really is. He's destroying another person, but he's not destroying him physically. It's in a more sublimated way.
He's destroying him through his speech. But actually, the speech is a medium through which he's carrying out some evil intention. That's the case of the category that's prohibited. That's the category that's prohibited, right? But in the next category, what is this category? This curiosity category, where people speak about things, just idle talk, gossip. What kind of category is that? Really, gossip is a bad term, because by gossip people mean also lashon hara. Yeah. But, right. So, what is really wrong with this category? How does this category differ from the first? The answer is this category is wrong because in this category is where the person is involved in a sublimated form of instinctual gratification. You see? Let me put it in a little more clear way. The thing is like this. That we have really two parts to our nature. And as strange as it is, we switch from one to the other many times. But there is a man is differentiated, we mentioned this many times, man is differentiated from the animal in the fact that in his mind somewhere he has a category or he has a place where the good exists. What is the good? What is the good? In other words, when a person does something, he has to believe that it's good. This belongs to the category of the good. An animal simply carries out his instincts. But man, in order for him to do something, he must go past the part of the mind in which the good is. See? Sukkim talk about higid l'chol matov. Tov, what is the good? Philosophers talk about the good. The good is a category that exists in the mind of man. The Rambam traces it back to Eitz HaDa'as Tov HaRa. Rambam says before that he didn't have that category in his mind. It didn't exist. But once man sinned, once Adam sinned, this category was created, and every person since Adam Rishon always has that. Everything that he does has to go through his mind. What is the good? Now there are two areas that vie for the good. One is from the emotional life. That's the part of man's life from early childhood. So it's very closely related to the instinctual. One is from the emotional, and the other is from the intellectual. You see. Now, many times a person will intellectually come to the conclusion as to what the good is, but then he's not always in the intellectual state. So what happens is he slips from the intellectual state. And he goes into an emotional state. And in the emotional state, the emotions are telling him what the good is. You see, so when he's involved in the emotions, there's a different frame of mind of the good. The problem is, one of the biggest problems, I think, that prevent a person from realizing what the truth is an attempt to unify these two states. Right? We always think it's good to be a unified human being. Some respects is bad. Why? Because people, many times, they can't tolerate this dichotomy. So what they try to do is, they try to take that which is emotionally good, which emotionally strikes a person as the good, and they try to make it intellectually, convince themselves that intellectually is good. Because it's too painful for them to realize that now they're living in a crazy way. Now they're living in an emotional way. But really, this is wrong. When they try to unify those two things, then they destroy really what their perception of what the real good is. A person who is a little bit on a higher level than that should be able to tolerate two frames of mind. Should be able to seek what the truth is objectively with his mind, 100%, what the truth is undiluted. And then he has to recognize that he's not going to be in that intellectual state all the time. He's going to slip back. When he slips back, he slips into the emotional state, emotional value system. The emotional value system will tell him different kinds of values. It'll tell him nice cars are very good, are good. It'll tell him a nice suit, furniture, house, all these areas, all the emotional good. That's where the emotions tell you the good. There's no logic about it. See? Very convincing area. Or a person will schok, kalas rosh, or enjoying themselves, laughing, joking, and the jokes are always a certain, the jokes are always carry with them a certain value system. The value system comes from the emotional part of a person's life. You see, that's the good that the emotions are attempting to maintain. Now, a person who can't be in conflict is in trouble, because he could never really exceed his emotional level. Whatever his emotions tell him are the good, he really can't exceed. His mind cannot go beyond that point because he can't tolerate any conflict. A person who, in order for a person to ever be able to reach perfection, he has to be able to tolerate a conflict between these two states. He has to be able to recognize that as far removed as he is from what the real good is, it should not prevent him from attempting to understand what that good is, and to contemplate and to use his mind and his intelligence to try to understand what the objective good is. That's the purpose of Pirkei Avos. What is Pirkei Avos? I mean, in Pirkei Avos, you study things that are really the ultimate, the highest level of perfection. The question is, once you study that, so how could you go back to your old life? And you have to walk away, you study it, and that's it? The answer is because you cannot, it's impossible for a person to change himself just so quickly, just by perceiving what the ultimate good is. It's a slow process. A person works in, a human being works in strange ways. What he has to do is he has to allow the thought and the ideas of what real perfection is register on his mind. If he doesn't allow that, he can never move from the spot. And then, if he recognizes what it is, he has to be very careful and observe himself as he goes along in life. The experiences of life, if he has the true ideas, the experiences of life should eventually lead him to mold his nature according to those ideas. See, that's why the Gemara says that a person who's a zaken, very old, physically he's old, so you have to stand up for him. Even a guy, you have to stand up for him. Why? The Gemara says, Kama patkaya over alayo. How many experiences did this individual have? Why? Because God created man to live 70 years, 80 years. So there's a reason for it. It's in order for a person to undergo certain experiences. If he has the true ideas, then the experiences will mold him closer to those ideas. But he cannot, if he does not want to tolerate conflict, then he'll never get it. Because he simply can't tolerate the idea. Every idea that he hears that is not the way he is, the way he lives, he has to reject. Once he rejects it, then there's no hope for him ever to reach perfection. I mean, in this area, we differ strongly from Lavdal Christianity. Because, you see, and the Christians have an idea of a saint. Saint means that a person that lives without sin. So that idea in Yadis does not exist. Everybody, the greatest man, has to do tshuva, because the greatest man is a chote. Ain't tzadik bar tse yatsa tova lo yechta. So what does it mean? It means he cannot, a person that thinks or that attempts, or a person that tries to live or intends to live in a way that he will not have a conflict between these two states, is a person that is completely living a false life. It's impossible. Ain't tzadik bar tse yatsa tova lo yechta. It's false. It's vanity. Simply, it's false vanity. He thinks that he can do such a thing, and he wants to do such a thing. That itself stems from the egoistic part of man, which is very detrimental. The Yahadus insists on a person living in line with reality. And with man's nature, it's impossible to have these two systems coincide precisely. They never will coincide. The one will approach the other. You'll be able to make it approach it as you move along, if you have the proper ideas. But you must be able to tolerate the discrepancy. You can't tolerate a discrepancy, you can never move ahead. It's impossible. I think it's one of the most basic things. And really, big chachomim were able to do that. If you look carefully at their writings, and you'll see that big chachomim were able to do that to a very great degree. What I mean by that is, I don't mean there was a great discrepancy in their lives. What I mean is that when they analyze the good, the analysis, their energies were totally into the analysis. That was the way it was. That was energy, totally into the analysis. And it had nothing to do with the... It was not a personal thing. It was not a personal analysis. It was an analysis of the subject matter itself. That a person should have his mind free so that he could be able to analyze what the good is and forget about himself. Simply forget about it. Forget about what you are. Just understand where the good is. That is the way Chacham works. It's a real, it's a objective scientific process. You see? If it's a subjective process, then it's bad. Now, the thing is like this. That, So now let's understand. What was our question? Our question was, how could the Rambam include in the same category when a person, if a person should speak against perfection? I mean, that should be from the category as usa. The answer is there's two types of speaking against perfection. One type of speaking against perfection is where a person gives a shiur. And he teaches you that the values that are really good are bad. Or conversely. That is definitely Dvar Masur. That's a Megala Panamatara, Shalok Halacha. It's Dvar Masur. But what it means, so what? But what is the category of the Rambam? The Rambam is talking about the category where the person is frivolous. He frivolously praises things which are bad. He's in a frivolous way. In other words, he's joking around, and it comes out that he praises the person because he's lazy, for instance. You know what I mean? Or in a joking manner, somebody who is who is very medaktik will make light of him. So he says, really, he's being megane a mila. That means what he's, the category that he's operating in, it's one category the Rambam's talking about. It's the emotional category. Now in this category, when a person slips into this category, there is a new good that is registering in his mind. In that little area where the good is supposed to be, there is a new good that's registering in his mind. You see? That, but it's not intellectual. No. He doesn't have intellectual conviction. But it does carry with it a very great force. That's why, by the way, that's why it's a bad area. See, why did the Chachamim really keep away from this area? Why did they keep away from it? For a very simple reason. Because it's a dangerous area. How is it dangerous? It's dangerous because while the person's involved in this mental state, a different good is registering on the mind. And he can't stop it. See, can't stop it. That's the way a person is. So, what the Rambam means over here, that's what the Rambam means. That's what the Rambam means. All these curiosity things that he mentions, you know, all these curiosity things is involvement in a different value system. Why this person became wealthy, why this person died. See, it's a different, it's the physical material value system that he's involving himself with, and through speech, he's attaining pleasure from. It's not, you cannot say that he is destructive. It's not destructive, but it's very enjoyable. It's the most enjoyable, really, the most enjoyable part of life. It's what people would call entertainment. Really, that's what it is. It's the most enjoyable part of life. What people perceive the most enjoyable part of life. Because that's the part that people pay for, and they always try to go to with the hope that they're going to achieve some happiness through that. You see, what they feel, since their instincts are driving them in that direction, they feel that this is going to make them very happy. And they'll spend an endless amount of money in order to be able to do this. This is the entertainment of life. That's really the category.
Isn't TV like that today?
TV, right. Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So, this category, you see, this category, you can't say a person speaking Lashon Hara, he's not using his power of speech in order to harm somebody. It's not an instrument of harm, but it's an instrument of being involved in the material value system. And it is giving his energies, basic materialistic instinctual energy satisfaction. That's the area which the Rambam says is not prohibited, but one is recommended against being involved in that area. That's where the Chachamim try to keep away from. And Rav never in his life was involved in that area at all. Okay. Then the Rambam has, now in contradistinction to that, the Rambam has another category. He has a category of Harotzei, that which we are recommended or advised to involve ourselves in. Not that we must do. It's not the category that there's a mitzvah to do, but it's a category that is recommended for a person to be involved in. What is that? I told you that. He mentions songs. He says, La'or es ha-nefesh. He says, Tastav nefesh bin umim v'shirim. Okay? He says, Shevach ha-chachomim. If you talk about the greatness of certain chachomim. This is more than Rishus. This is something which is advisable and recommended. Okay. What is this category? That's called derech eretz. So what is that? What does it mean? So we asked the question over there also. What do you mean that the limud? Limud shouldn't be limud derech eretz. I'm learning mesech derech eretz. That's a mitzvah. This is derech eretz, not Torah. You wouldn't make a bracha after. You wouldn't make a bracha shabracha bano before this. Suddenly you would. So what's the answer? The answer is this is not limud over here. This is not the category of limud of intellectual. See, the emotional category. There are two, in the emotional life, there are two ways that it works. That's right. There are good emotions, too. Good emotions, too. See that? Until now, I thought they're all bad.
Yeah.
Not sure. The area of the good emotions. What are the good emotions? See, a person, see, the good emotions means when a person is in an emotional state which tends to draw him towards the good. There is such a state where it draws him towards a good thing. And he might not be in an intellectual state at the time, but he's in a state of mind where it draws him towards the good. This is good. This is very good. That's why the Rambam mentions a song. A song that brings to mind a certain idea and gives him a. So Hasidim aren't so wrong when they use these songs. The only thing is that they don't use them as a means. That becomes the essence. That's what's wrong. If that becomes the essence, then of course you realize that's ridiculous. I mean, you can't have something which drives you towards the good, and you're going to stay with that all your life. I mean, something which drives you towards the good, you have to have the good. But a song that makes a person. Puts him in a frame of mind where he wants to learn, he wants to do good things, that's good. That's considered the good, the Rambam says. That's considered the good. Or any emotional state, discussions about, when you discuss, for instance, you talk about the Vilnagoyen, or you talk about different Gedolim, and by speaking about them, a person becomes attracted to that idea, and becomes drawn to living that type of a life, emotionally. Now you can't say you cannot consider that an intellectual experience. It's an emotional experience. If it was intellectual, it would be from the part of that you're mitzvah to. That's where you're involved. That's Talmud Torah. That's what you're mitzvah to speak about. But here it's not intellectual, it's emotional. But emotional is very good because it draws the person towards the intellectual. It draws him towards the true state. That's why the Rambam says, that's considered derech eretz. The Rambam doesn't mean derech eretz. By derech eretz, the Rambam doesn't mean limud, study of the ideas of derech eretz. Limud over here, the Rambam means to teach a person to practice, how to practice and how to live properly. Derech Eretz, so you have to teach a person, how to live properly emotionally, a certain emotional base. By the way, that's the meaning to the rebuke that you always receive. Derech Eretz kadm latar. The Rebbeim always criticized the Exodus. Derech Eretz comes first. You think you're a Talmud Chacham? Derech Eretz comes first. What it means is that in order for a person to reach the state in which he's really in the intellectual frame, he has to have some emotions that precede the state that draw him to it. That draw him towards this state. He can't just come from nowhere. If a person was born a Chacham, he wouldn't need this. But a person is not born a chacham. I mean, you're trying to take a person from his humble beginnings, his meager beginnings that he comes with, and you're trying to raise him and bring him towards the true ideas. The only way you could do that is through his emotions. But if emotions were all bad, you'd never be able to move. The answer is that there's a certain situation where the emotions are good. And that's the situation that's considered the area of speech where a person is recommended to evolve himself in. It's not limud. It's an emotional experience that drives a person, draws a person towards the good. Towards the first category, which is the category of being involved in Talmud Torah itself. That's the highest category. Okay? That's the Rambam. But you know one thing, the reason why the Rambam speaks so much in this whole area, I mean, he keeps on going, is because the Rambam, when the Rambam talks so much, it means he feels very important. It's important because you'll see when we get finished with this, that this is the whole method of perfection. The person wants to know how to perfect himself. That's this part, this area right here, this Rambam right here. That's it. Okay. Then he says, the Chelak HaChamishi is Rishus. And the Chelak HaChamishi, which is Rishus, so the Rambam says, in that Chelak, a person that's Mischar, things business, area of business. So there the Rambam says that he shouldn't, that he should try to minimize it. He should try to minimize it as much as he could. So we ask the question, if you try to minimize it, so then it's bad also. It's also bad. It's just not as bad. Right? Minimize means it's no good. So why isn't that the same category as the category that you recommended against? So what's the answer? The answer like this. The answer is that they're two different things. In the category where you're involved in the emotional good, there, that involvement per se is bad. Business involvement per se is not bad. But if a person should minimize his involvement there simply so that he should free his energy so that he could use the energy for the good. See, when you're involved in the category which is the which a person recommended against, that a person should keep away from, every minute of involvement per se is bad. Because as we said, while you're involved, something wrong is registering on that area of the mind in which the good is supposed to be. So really, you're harming yourself at that point. You're harming yourself. But in business is neutral. It's rishus. He's involving himself in something that he needs. But even that, he should try to minimize his speech in that area simply to free his energy so that he can use it for the higher area.
Okay.
That's a good question. Question was raised, what's in the area of business? How could you have a neutral area? Insofar as he has to involve himself in business in order to survive, that's good. And insofar as he doesn't, so then he's involving himself, it's bad again. So it should belong to the other area. In other words, the answer is like this. The answer is that those things which a person needs for his necessities, when he's involved talking about what he needs for his necessities, is not an area which lends itself to having a false good register on his mind, because it has nothing to do with values. A person, well, see, we're not talking about above what a person needs, because that definitely becomes a value system. In other words, a person doesn't need things which are not necessary for his existence. But we're talking about, let's give a mushel. The person wants to sit down to eat. So he has to have a fork and a plate. I mean, he has to have a table. A person, for instance, will go on a picnic. So now he has to make sure he has things that he needs to put down on the table. It's not an area when he discusses putting a chair over here or putting it down a tablecloth or something like that. It's not an area which he gets emotionally involved. It's simply necessities. Necessities are not something that are exciting to a person. He has to go buy a toothbrush. It's not a value system, right? So this is not an area. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says it's not an area. He says the zereshus einenu lo rotzi v'lo meruchak, because it doesn't attract the person's interest, and it'll never make him think that this has any value. Because on the contrary, it's something he doesn't like to do, really. Something that he has to do. But even in this area, the Rambam says a person should minimize. Why should he minimize? He should minimize for two reasons. First of all, because, you see, the thing is like this. Essentially, it's one reason. He should minimize it because a person should try to minimize that aspect of his life which has to do with his physical self. Which has to do with his physical self. You understand what I mean? Gedolei Chachamim try to make life as simple as possible, to simplify life, to reduce one's needs. A person should try to reduce his needs as much as he can, because by reducing a person's needs, he directs himself towards the part of his nature which is higher, towards the higher element in man. So even though if a person will be involved in his needs to a great degree, in his needs, he cannot say that he's registering a false value system, because it's not a value. It's something he has to do. But the reduction of a person's needs is a midas chasidus. And you see, certain chachamim, they always try to make their life as simple as possible. The less needs they have, the better. Because to reduce that part of man which is related essentially to his physical self, in order to increase the part of man that's related to the higher sphere, to his intelligence and to his knowledge, you see, to the good, to the real good. That's the reason. That's what the Rambam means. That's that chelik. That chelik is the part which does not throw any type of influence on what should be imprinted on that part of the mind which says what the good is. It doesn't reflect at all on that. Doesn't affect it at all. But essentially, in an essential way, in a primary way, directly, has nothing to do with it. But nevertheless, a person can raise himself to a higher level by reducing that part of his nature, reducing the area of the involvement in that part of his nature. Mark is mentioning a good point. The truth of the matter is that in today's society, you see, everything, the area of necessity has been reduced tremendously in our society. Everything, even those things which are necessity, there's an attempt to attach some type of pleasure to it. Like he said, I mean, a green toothbrush, or a red one, all different colors. Why is necessity for colors? Attracts a person should stand there and think which toothbrush looks better. See, now once he does that, once he involves himself in that type of thought, he's involving himself already in the previous category. That's not the category of rishus anymore. That's the category of pleasure. That is true. I mean, society tries to take the necessities and convert them into pleasures, or attach some type of pleasure to them, because that's the way they do business. But the area that the Rambam is talking about is really hardly exists today, because everything has already become associated with pleasure. Okay? Let me just repeat it once more. In other words, the Rambam is saying like this: there is the area of Rishus, the optional area is an area in which there's no enjoyment. He doesn't enjoy it. There's no enjoyment there. So it can't be a value. But, however, he has X amount of necessities. A person should try to reduce them. Simply should try to reduce those necessities in speaking about them and being involved in them. Let me make it clear. A person who sits around and talks about what he did in business the previous day, that is the category that a person should keep away from. That's where he's involved in the... That's a value system already. He's happy about what he did in business. He's happy how much money he made. He's proud of how smart he is. And this type of thing. That's the emotions. That's the emotion. He says, "Aval ha'osav ha'maruchok, harein tzarech lomar." Aval ha'osav ha'maruchok, harein tzarech lomar. Vein tzarech letzavos sheroi lishtok mimenu legamri. That a person shouldn't speak in those two categories at all. Okay. I think that it's a little bit misleading. What is the Rambam says he shouldn't speak in those two categories at all. But I don't believe the Rambam means that literally, that he's telling us that we shouldn't speak in those two categories at all. It was a very simple thing. Because if that was the case, what he'd be instructing us to do is to be on the level of Rav. Because Rav, the Gemara says about Rav, Lo Soch Sicho Betela Miyoma, he says, Gedolei HaChachamim. Is Gedolei HaChachamim, he says, V'chassidim mishtadlim ma'od l'srachek medvar meila. So apparently it's not on the same level. So dvar mo asurim, and the Rambam later talks about Lashon Hara a little bit. He gives a little shear on Lashon Hara over here, further on. And he says, when he speaks about it, he says that, V'u avera chamor b'yoser, shalom nichshol b'tomid, u'befrat b'mashem ha'chachom, sh'avak lashon hara, ein adam nitzel m'mena b'chol yom. V'alavai, v'lo yehe lashon hara atzmo. Alavai, a person shouldn't speak lashon hara every day, it'd be very good, because I want to talk about avak lashon hara. So the Rambam, so you see the Rambam over here, doesn't expect me, he's talking about devar ma'asurim. Even in the category of devar ma'asurim, the Rambam says, alavai, we should be able to be nitzel from lashon hara itself. Never mind avak lashon hara, which is also in the category of devar ma'asurim. So when the Rambam says over here, you have to understand, when the Rambam says over here, that Sheroy Lishta, why does Ram say Sheroy Lishta from Menel Lagamri? What does he mean, Roy Lishta? It's impossible. He expects us to be on a level like the Chachmei HaMishnah and Chachmei HaTalmud.
We make the attempt to do that, that's all.
What he means is Roy Lishta from Menel Lagamri means philosophically. Philosophically, if a person would recognize and understand the harm that is being done to himself by being involved in these things, you see, you must say that that in terms of a person's soul, it definitely is harmful. There's no question about it. That a person should not involve himself in this speech because all this type of speech is harmful to him. So therefore, the only thing you can conclude is you shouldn't be involved in it at all. He's not speaking on a practical plane. In other words, he's telling you that from the standpoint of the soul, it is harmful, and therefore, naturally, a person should not speak about it, should not be involved at all. But practically, he's not telling you that a person should simply stop speaking about these areas completely, because it's impossible. A person cannot do it unless he's on a very high level, and he has to progress in this area slowly. If a person tries to do something which is above his ability, he could wind up in serious trouble. He should, and as we said before, he should know this idea that this all the speech is harmful, and whenever he's involving himself in this, he's really harming himself. But practically speaking, he will not be able to do it until he reaches a certain level. However, there's no question about it that if a person wants to perfect himself, that he has to involve himself in some type of in some type of perfection, or in some type of practical attempt to improve his state in these areas. I mean, if a person were to simply negate the whole idea, I would say, look, I mean, that's for Rav, that's for the Chachmei Talmud, but for me, I'm not on that level. That is equally wrong. A person should be involved in some type of program, so to speak, where he recognizes the harm of this, and he should try to reduce it. And he has to be involved in some area of reducing his speech in a harmful way. I mean, if he's not involved at all, that's bad. Not involved at all, then he's not moving, he's not changing. Because basically, like we said before, this is the area which is this is the area of perfection for man. Because since in man all his instincts are expressed verbally, man doesn't really act so much physically. An animal acts physically, but everything goes through speech. So the area of speech is the area in which perfection lies. That's why the Pasuk says, Mi yo'isha chafetz chayim, o'ev yam l'roz tov. Mitzol lashon chameroz, vasecha midaber mirma. That's why such a tremendous emphasis on lashon hara. So Mi yo'isha chafetz chayim, o'ev yam l'roz tov. Why? And all the Bali Musa write about it, you know what I mean, how bad it is, and the things. A lot of times when you hear about it, when you first hear it, when you're young, you feel they're exaggerating a little bit. What's so terrible? You know, the main thing is to involve the Maisa Mitzvahs, don't do Averas. Things are getting a little too, a little too picky, you know what I mean? They're going overboard a little bit, a little too fanatical. But it's not. Why? Because the area of speech, that is the area of perfection. That is the area where a person can perfect himself, because all his instincts come to the fore in his speech, are expressed in his speech. And that's the area a person, if he wants to ever change himself, has to work in that area. That's why the Rambam talks so much about this area. And you'll see later, the Rambam discusses Lashon Hara. That's because man's psychical satisfactions are through the verbal. Okay? That's the way it's constructed. That's the way his mind is constructed. So if he wants to change the direction of his energies, he has to approach the verbal. If he doesn't get into the area of the verbal, he will never be able to protect himself. Okay?
available.
By the way, I mean, Yadis maintains, and this is something which is against the grain of our society. And I'm mentioning it not because it's such a chiddush, it's such a double pashut, but I'm mentioning it because a lot of times people do not achieve perfection. I mean, that's what this shiur is about, really. Of us as teachers, how to perfect ourselves. People do not achieve perfection in many instances because of certain ideas they've absorbed from the society around them that they're raised with, and they can't get out of their mind. One of those ideas in our society is that frustration is bad. Frustration is bad. See? So since frustration is bad, and we have to avoid this, so therefore anything which leads to a state of tension and frustration, we attempt to avoid. But that is... The thing is that on the contrary, in order for a person to make a change in the direction of his energies, he has to have a certain amount of frustration in the area in which his energies are going naturally. If he doesn't, that's good. That is a good state. That is a very good state. I'll tell you something. You mentioned psychology, but I just want you to know that a lot of people have a mistaken notion about that too. Because while it is the purpose of a psychologist to remove frustration, I mean, Yadis is a different way. Yadis maintains that their formula will never work. But even within their formula, I want you to understand, they maintain that if there is not a state of frustration, there's no improvement. That's what they maintain. The real psychologists know that. That's right. And that's why they say if a person, for instance, in psychoanalysis, if a person is undergoing psychoanalysis and cannot tolerate frustration, he's not a candidate for psychoanalysis. No way. He has to tolerate a lot of frustration, because the frustration brings the conflicts to the fore, and only then can he get down to the bottom of the conflicts. So frustration is a good thing. It's a good thing. I want you to know that the reason why people do not want to recognize this is just a prejudice. And the society caters to this fantasy. The society caters to the fantasy that what feels good is good. And anytime you avoid a frustration, you're going to be a happier person. It happens to be very convincing emotionally, but it is absolutely false. Absolutely false. It's false. It's not true. And the truth of the matter is that if a person wants to really reach happiness, he must be able to face frustration. You can't do it, he's not going to be able to make it. And unfortunately, our society is very bad that way. We're geared towards thinking that frustration is the bad, and it's not. In the ultimate state of perfection, there is no frustration. Or let me say it's very, very reduced. But in order to reach that state, a person must go through frustration. And if no person is born, like the Rambam says, no person is born in the perfect state. Man differs from the animal in that he can change his state, and a person can go. If a person works in the air of perfection, he'll notice that his psyche and his whole the dispensation of energies will be changing. And if he notices this, he'll see that this is Adam, this is man. Man is the only creature that can do that, that can make a change in the actual way that his energies, his psychic energies are dispensed. And that's only possible through the one of the things that's necessary is to be able to tolerate frustration.
Yeah,
that's right, right, right. Total frustration is very bad. I mean, you can destroy the organism, you know what I mean? Just frustration is not a milo. It's not a milo. Just that frustration is no benefit. I mean, that's similar like to the Christian idea that just to be suffering is a value. No value in that. But if you have the knowledge and you know how to utilize the experience, then you'll be able to gain from it. If you'll notice in Tehillim, the Navi always talks Lashon Ramiyah, always talks about the Lashon. The Lashon is the important, the Lashon is the, that is the medium through which a person can attain perfection. That's Lashon speech. That's a good one. Mr. Mashek mentioned a good point. See, it's not the it shouldn't be the speech itself which is the perfection, but it should be what is the cause of, what is the internal cause of the speech. But I'll tell you, the answer is, you're right about that, but there's one thing you have to know.
that speech is not simply a result. See? Speech works together with the internal as like one entity. When a person, if a person wants to work out an idea, so when he speaks the idea, it's not simply that he, when he talks it out, that he's just saying something that's inside him. But through the medium of speech, he's perfecting and clarifying that idea. That's why the halacha is, if you just think in Torah, there's no bracha. But if you speak, there's a bracha. And if you write, there's also a bracha. Why? Because writing is the same thing. See, it's bringing it as speech is the final expression of human thoughts. That's what it is. So it's not just that speech is a result of your internal. Speech is a part of the process of the internal also. Part of the very process. Of course, yes. A person who just, we spoke about in the beginning, a person who accepts the Tainus Dibur. Doesn't talk. He will not talk. In a lot of places, a lot of yeshivas, you find that individuals will do such things. Suddenly they will not talk, except upon themselves what they call a Tainus Dibur, and they will not speak about anything. Is there any value in that? The answer is if it's a part of this person's natural progression towards perfection, and if he is switching his energy from the area that he's abstaining from to the good, then it's very good. But if he's just abstaining from speaking, and he's not really changing the direction of his energies to the area of the good, then it's just a waste of time. It's just pain. Just being painful. Now the answer is, Aval HaMitzuveh V'horotzui. That area which a person is commanded to speak about, and that area which a person is advised to speak about, he says, Harezui Atachlas. In Yuchal Ha'odom L'daber Bohem Kol Yimei Chayov Harezui Atachlas. Atachlas means that's the objective. What do you mean this is the Atachlas? It means that he should have said a person who speak about it. Atachlas means that the person, all the abstentions is only that a person should involve himself in this. Just abstain is no mila. If a person just abstains, he's just involved in another emotion. That's all. The emotion of abstention appeals to him at this point. See? That's also an emotion. But the tachlis means that the person's abstention should lead to the ultimate, which is to involve himself in speaking about the good. He says, Ela shutzarach is an interesting rama. Ela shutzarach him zeh shnei dvarim. And he has two requirements for this. Ho'echod, one thing is, Sheyiyu ma'isov mas'imim l'dvarim. Kimo she'omer. Noim dvarim ha'yotzim mipi oseyam. Interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. What does the Ram say over here? I don't think the Ram is going. He says, Aval HaMetzuva V'Horotzei. You see? Aval HaMetzuva V'Horotzei. The Ram means like this. If a person, he says, a person should speak in this all his life, but you need two conditions. One condition is that the person himself should be a chassid, should do what he speaks about. So he's an interesting thing. He says, in other words, his action should be in line with his speech. Alright? Come out like they say, Norm Dvar Mayotzen PSN. It's very good to hear things that come from the person who does it himself. And that's what it means when it says Loha Medrash Ha'ikar Eloha Masa. Let's understand it for a minute. What does it mean? Loha Medrash Ha'ikar Eloha Masa. What's that got to do with this? What's that got to do with this? Loha Medrash Ha'ikar Eloha Masa means that the main thing is not the and it seems to me anyways, I mean, most people think it, the main thing is not the medrash, not the learning, but the doing. So what's that got to do with this? He says a person should not speak to others about perfection unless he's in line with that perfection. Okay? Law and Medishika Lamaisa. What's it got to do with it? What's the answer? And what is the whole concept? Why? Why can't he speak about it? What's wrong with it? It says, Ramit Tzadikim Bar Hashem La Yesharim Navasahila. That's really for the Yesharim, if the ones who are really Tzadikim, for them it's Navasahila. Very nice, very beautiful. The praise of God is very beautiful by the ones who themselves are perfected. The ones who aren't perfected, doesn't seem to say, by the way, doesn't seem to say anything wrong with it. It just says he shouldn't do it. It's not right for him to do it. Privately, you can do it. Publicly, you shouldn't do it. Why? What's the reason?
See, the thing is like this, that the Rambam is talking about the area where a person is involved, or an individual is involved in bringing another person's emotions to perfection. Now, the thing is like this, that in the emotion, actually, what's wrong? The person's saying a true idea, so what if he doesn't do it? It's a true idea, who cares? What's the answer? The answer is like this. The answer is, insofar as he's concerned, sure, he has to be able to understand a true idea, whether he does it or not, like I told you before. He has to be able to tolerate that discrepancy, otherwise he can never reach perfection. But insofar as influencing people, the people are really influenced by the emotional, and the emotional demands that there's an attachment to a certain person. See? Now, once they perceive that this person doesn't do it, on the contrary, it's harmful. Because what it does is, it shows them that this idea doesn't necessarily have to be carried out. So therefore, the whole thing is gone. See? That's what it means. Rana Siddiq about Hashem, La Yeshurim Navazila. For them, it's very nice. But if it's not Yeshurim, it's no good, because for the people it's a bad thing, because for the people they're influenced essentially by the personality, and if the personality is not in line, so then on the contrary it breaks the whole seriousness of the and the whole importance of the member of whatever he's teaching. Okay, that's the concept. That's the idea of Chil Hashem and the all these things. People look at a person as a Ben Torah and they see that they're not, they don't clean the base of Medrash, or they don't live in a proper way. So it's a Chil Hashem. Why? Because people go, they don't go by the death. They go by the person. As a matter of fact, most people never rise above that level. They never rise above that level. So that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means, it says, now what does it mean? Lo ha-medr shikr al-ma'isa? Why does lo ha-medr shikr al-ma'isa fit in? Exactly. He's saying the effect that you'll have on others will not be so much from limud, but from the way you act. That's the effect. Because the people, exactly, because the people are affected by a personality. That's where they're affected. They're not on a level. I mean, a person is on a level where he's in the world of ideas. He doesn't need this. But most people, it is the person that affects them, and that's the way it is. And if the person isn't there, lo ha-medr she'ikr, ela ha-maisa, they will follow quicker from your actions than from what you teach. That's what it runs. That's why he learns pshat in the memra, lo ha-medr she'ikr, ela ha-maisa. It's an interesting pshat. But he says that's why it's tied into this statement over here, really, because it's right afterwards. Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachomim v'lo matzasi leguf tov mishsika v'lo hamedrash she'ikar ela hamaisa. What's that got to do with it? So the answer is, lo matzasi leguf tov ela mishsika has to do with the concept of refraining from speaking the bad areas and speaking the good areas. Right? That's what it means. So, what does it mean v'lo matzasi leguf tov? Why does he say v'lo matzasi leguf tov ela shtika? Why doesn't he say v'lo matzasi leguf tov ela dibur b'inyanim hametzuvim v'hanehovim? What's the answer? The answer is because, like we said before, shtika is the motivating factor. The frustration from shtika is what moves the person forward. That's what it means. V'lo matzasi leguf tov ela shtika means the shtika is what moves the person forward. The frustration, what does shika mean? Shika means when you want to speak and you hold yourself back. That frustration is the thing which makes the person perfect himself. That's why it says that. V'lo ha-medr she'ikr ela ha-maisa. Which means, now he's speaking about the other thing. Of course, the purpose of the shika is to speak in those things which are of value. But only on the condition that if you're speaking to others, if you're involved in speaking to others, teaching others, then it has to be the Maisa. That's what he says. Okay? And he says one more condition. V'inyan Hasheni, the second thing is, and this area I really don't understand exactly. I have to work it out. I just want to conclude with one thing. This fits in very nicely. This whole concept fits in very nicely with Shabbos. Because you see, what is Shabbos really? Shabbos is a day of perfection. That's why Shabbos is a day for Talmud Torah. And that's why on Shabbos there's an Isser which people don't realize.
but the issa to read the to read all these types of stories. And svarim, all these svarim of these melitzos, the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch says, it quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, Al tifnu el ho elilim. So what is tifnu el elilim? Is it Al tifnu el midatchem? Midatchem means some things that you make up from your own mind, things that you make up from your own mind. And the Mechaber brings down on Shabbos, you're not allowed to read stories about not only livrei cheshek, love stories. He says, of course, is also, but he says like, and he mentions going to theaters. The Yachronim mentioned going to theaters and all these things. So you're not allowed to read novels. Novels are not allowed to read on Shabbos. Not allowed to read all these type of curiosity papers and things like that. Yeah, not allowed. It's an issa to read on Shabbos. An issa to read on Shabbos. So and it says al tifnu el ha'elilim. Why? I remember when I read that. Why? What do you mean, Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim? Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim means don't turn to Avodah Zarah. You mean it's Avodah Zarah? I mean, it sounds, it's too extreme. And why is it Avodah Zarah? Al Tifnu El Midatchem, Chazal say. What does it mean, El Midatchem? It says, Dvorim Hashet, Rashi says, Dvorim Hashet, Machshiva Midatchem. What it means is to be in that state where the emotions rule. So a person has, that's midatchem. Midatchem means where you yourself are led by that state of mind where you're not in the intellectual. See? That's when the emotions present the value system. That's al tifnu al ha'elilim. And that's when Shabbos, which is the day in which a person is supposed to acquire perfection, on Shabbos it's absolutely awesome. So while during the week a person has to go according to his level, person has to go according to his level. But one of the things we have is Shabbos. And Shabbos is a day in which it's an absolute issur to be involved in this type of thing, in this type of talk. Anything about all these curiosity type things, or the reading these novels, or any type of periodicals that deal with this type of nonsense. It's only Chochmah. And it's Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. Because what is Avodah Zarah really? What is Avodah Zarah? The underlying of Avodah Zarah is to follow the Avodah Zarah. Really is nothing more than the highest example of the expression of that emotional state. That's what an emotional state leads to, and that's why Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim means not to involve yourself in this type of nonsense. Of course, it's the false value of the emotions, based on the emotion, and the emotional ultimately leads to Avodah Zarah. Alright, interesting Mishnah Berurah, by the way. Mishnah Berurah is on the Shin Zion. And I mean, Simin Shin Zion. Shabbos, it's Os Nuntes in the Mishnah Berurah. And it's really the Magen Avraham. As the Mechaber says, Melitzes in Mesholim Shal Sikha Schum of Divrei Cheshek, Gan Sefer in Mone, Emmanuel. It means like books, the novels, and other things of nonsense. Also, of course, remember Shabbos. Vaf b'chol asa. Mahara says. Mishum Moshe Leitzin. Va'over mishum al tifnu el ha'alilim. Lo sifnu al midatchem. Okay, then he goes into love stories. Certainly asa. Was Megari Yetzirah. So, I mean, brings down, it's really the Magen Avraham that says that Magen Avraham says that V'huadin ho'holech v'tartios v'lekarkasios they mean a schok k'disa v'avod azor d'afitchas. You see? V'sh'om inei tachbulos, and he says even in Purim he doesn't know who was mocked at this kind of schok. So the only thing is, only yeah. He says, and the Mishnah says of Sinner Rabbi Kayom Nasa Dovazek a Hefker, Eitzel Eizan Noshim Lelech LeBeis Tartios Theaters. Because of Tzavach VaOmer Al Tismach Yisrael Gil Ba'Amen. V'gam yikah v'zemishim megari yetzahara. V'amur chazal kol ha'maslotze it's nofel b'gehenim shenema yisumim boin love. Okay.
So the that's the Mishra. The Mishra mentions the so we're going to Tatiya. See, Al Tismach Yisrael Gil Ba'amim. And to go to the Gemara of Vayezodach Yechesam Bay. You know where to go to Karkisios and Tartarios. Gemara Daf Yechesam on the base in Vayezodach. So really, you see, in the Gemara says it was Moshe Leitzin. So Allah, this is Moshe Leitzin. So what does it show you from all this? It shows you one thing. It shows you that the Isser of Dibur, that the Rambam is talking about, is really not Dibur per se. Not Dibur per se. It's the involvement. But the Dibur is just an expression of the person go to a theater, so he won't talk. Sit there and take in what he sees. So it's not Dibor. No, it's nothing to do with Dibor. It's really the involvement. And the Isser is, the Isser of Altifnu of Alilim, Altifnu Midaitchem is, because the Isser is to be involved, really Avodah Zorah comes from the part of man, as I said last week, it comes from that part of man which is the based on the emotional, the infantile emotional. See? And to cater to that part is to establish the wrong concept of the good. And Al-Tifnu al-Alilim, that's what I said, Al-Tifnu al-Alilim. Wasn't it Al-Tifnu al-Alilim? You shouldn't start to go in that direction. And whenever a person involves himself in that type of a thing, so he's already bringing into play those emotions carry with them the corrupt values which destroy the person. So that's why you have those all those Yisroel. So Shabbos certainly, and the Shabbos on the Teshuvah also, Teshuvah says that these things are also on Shabbos. It says in Gam B'chol, Amar Ben Tam, there's no heter. It's a thing called Amar Ben Tam, the read, but there's no heter for it. But Shabbos, the reason why Shabbos, because Shabbos is supposed to be the day which represents the perfected life. That's a halachically structured day. So it's a separate Esser Shabbos. Be a double Esser on Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be a life. You're supposed to have a life which is most perfect. That day is supposed to be designated for that type of life. Okay. More talks about the bullfights and gladiators. All this type of nonsense. Even sports. All these things. But, I mean, you have to understand. I mean, definitely, it's al tifnu lalila. But the only one thing I would say is like this. That the Rambam does not bring down the halacha in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Doesn't bring it down. Okay? Yeah. Doesn't bring down the Gemara. I mean, it doesn't. Sports would be the same thing. There's no question about it. But the Rambam doesn't bring down the halacha. Why? Because the Rambam apparently felt that it's not really a halacha kisser. But certainly, in terms of perfection, it's a great imperfection. But now, in terms when you're dealing with an area of perfection, a person, like we said last time, has to evaluate himself. He has to know exactly what his level is. He has to know what his level is. So you can't go on a person can't do something which is above his level. But there is a difference. So there's something that should, there's one condition that should really be abided by. In other words, when a person involves himself in these things, there are different ways for the person to involve himself. He can involve himself in the sense that it really is a value, or he could do it because he's not on the level, but he doesn't give the thing a value in itself. You know what I mean? There's a tremendous difference in attitude between the way a person does these things. The person will, let's say a person's involved in sports. Okay, but the thing is, I mean, what is the nature of the involvement? The pasuk is a beautiful pasuk. Al tismach Yisrael el gil ba'amim. What does it mean, al tismach Yisrael el gil ba'amim? The Jews, don't be happy, should not rejoice with the rejoicing, the gil ba'amim. What's the gil? Because the gil ba'amim is all the emotions, the fantasies. See? That's the gil ba'amim. But Yisrael is separated, and they shouldn't rejoice in that type of satisfaction. That type. That should not be the rejoicing. So, the pasuk means not tesmach zol gil baron. It means that this simcha means a total rejoicing. So what it means is, if a person does these things, I mean, a person can't just cut everything out of his life and all the world tell him in one time. Spoke about that. It would be detrimental. It's not going to be harmful for a person to do it. But what a person can do immediately is to change his attitude towards his involvement in these things. That is something which makes a tremendous difference. Al tismach Yisrael gil ba'anet. So simcha means that this is it. That simcha means mole like pina. What does that simcha mean? Simcha means that this is the greater person feels that this is it. He's totally captured. Emotionally, that this is really the thing. This is the greatness. And a person should definitely not feel and not involve himself in these activities as to give them any real value. That really is destructive. That's destructive. The person of ours is not on the level to remove himself completely, so you can't expect him to do it. But the nature of the way the person is involved is different. Now, tismach is called gilbam. There shouldn't be any simcha, really. Shouldn't be any simcha. Simcha means that there's a real value. Simcha has to be reserved. Simcha has to be reserved for only one area. The expression of simcha has to be reserved only for the area of Torah. There's no other area. The Gemara says in brachas. That's the meaning of the Gemara in brachas. The Gemara in Brachos says that Osel Odom Shimale Piv Schaik Balam Azeh. That's right. And worldly involvements. In this world, it's impossible. Because in this world, you can't be the Male Piv Schaik is impossible. Since for him to have a total expression of Schaik, in this world, it's impossible. Why? Because in this world, he's too tied to the physical. But that means that if the schok over there means, the simcha and the schok means a value, where a person really feels that this is it, everything is fine, everything is wonderful, everything is considered in his mind, as it's enjoyable, it's great, it's everything. It satisfies all parts of the mind. It satisfies his enjoyment part, it satisfies his value part, everything. That's impossible. The real person of truth, He may enjoy something. He may enjoy involvement in Ratzanis, but it cannot be that every part of his mind should go along with it. There should be one part that is not really happy at that point. See? That is not happy at that point. If every part goes along with it, then it's bad. That's how Tismach Yisrael of Gilbama. The Jew has a different type of concept of what the good is. And that's why he could never rejoice like the other nations rejoice. The Gilbamim is also. The Gilbamim is just the enjoyment of the emotion. Just like the regular, the American Thanksgiving party. That's the Gilbamim. The person is living in a town where there's a base of Arizora. So it's not just that the town. The Rambam says awesome. Yeah, that's fine. But it's not just that he's living in such a town where there happens to physically be a base of Arizar. An interesting Rambam. Go to Rambam for me. Rambam says you're not allowed to look at a base of Arizar. Yeah, it's the Rambam of Pirshim Mishnayos on the beginning of Arizar. What's the shot? What he's referring to is the influence of the Ovdei of Arizar. If you're living in such a town, the Rambam says, if you're living in such a town where there is a public display, people in the town recognize the Avodah Zarah, and you can be sure that you're going to be influenced by it. There's no way you can escape it. That's why the Rambam says that's the curse. Va'avadatem shom Elohim masei de odam eitz father. And that's what happened to us. We are living in such a situation, and we suffer from that.